Father, we just thank you, and we thank you for thy closeness. We thank you for thy forgiveness, that you forgive us. Father, we realize that we're made of clay, and we need your help. We need your strength. And Lord, I look to you right now for help. I pray that you might speak to our hearts this day as only you can. Father, I pray that you will bless us from the very top of our heads, the very sole of our feet, by your wonderful strength, your wonderful power, for that overflowing of thy mighty well from heaven. Father, we thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. We thank you that you're forever faithful. We thank you that you have a way, that you know all things, you're in all things. And Father, where we are very lacking, you're more than abundance. Your abundance runs over with overflowing of thy presence. And Father, we realize in ourselves we're very needy. We're not able within ourselves to do very much. And Father, all we can do sometimes is complain. All we can do is do things that's not uplifting to you this day. And Father, we just pray that you might settle us in thy peace. You might give us that joy forevermore. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, you know that what the Lord laid on my heart is about Jesus, God's gift that God has given us. You know, really, if it wasn't for his wonderful gift, where would we be today? You know, he had at one time, basically, his eyes were always on Israel. And I don't have no Jewish blood in me. I don't know whether maybe some, but I was absent with that. So I would have been improper at that time when my life would end, that I wouldn't really have any knowing down here where I was headed. I'd be searching, and I wouldn't have the answer. And many people are in that spot today. There's many people that do not understand the wonderful love that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. Through that special gift, at this time of Christmas, when we give gifts to others, but God is the one that gave the great gift, the gift of all gifts. He gave us his wonderful son, and then his wonderful son has, and I think it's in Luke where it says it, when the angel came and told Mary that she was going to receive birth, this gift, the child, the holy child, and how she was picked out. The Lord said she was had a very special calling in her life, and how she must have felt that joy, that exuberance of really being part of Jesus. And then allowing seeing Jesus grow up and being this, of all children, he had to be above every child's ever been. He was special. He had a special way. And when he went to that marriage supper, Mary told they didn't have any wine. And she said, well, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. So Jesus told them, just go take their pots and fill them with water. And the custom that day, you know, you drank the good wine first, and the bad wine give later. But in that, Jesus gave the wine that was so good. And he says, you know, says we give the worst wine later, but you give us the good wine. And that good wine was one of the first miracles that Jesus did. But Jesus was very fundamental in all the gifts. He went down, when he's a child, he astonished the priest and the elders, what he knew. His knowledge was above any of our understanding. And Jesus was without any, he didn't have failures like we do. He didn't have any of these blockages of mind because God was in him. He was God's son. He was God himself, imparted that God had sent him to be the savior of this world. And through that special life that he gave and lived, he became the special sacrifice for us. For us, that we might be able to live. The Bible says he came to his own received him not, but two men received him, and then he gave power. God has given us power. He came to his own received him not, but two men received him, and then he gave power. He gives us power to be overcomers. He's given us power to be a overcomer, to do his will. He has given us strength that we have never had before. We find ourselves, and many times when we grow up in life, we find ourselves as clumsy. We find ourselves as real, not attractive. We go through this guilt stage when we're young. We don't really know. We don't. We want to be held back in the back where people don't see us. But Jesus had not these flaws that many of us, we grow, some these things we grow out of as time, we mature to a time that we don't, things don't bother us. But we all have stages in our life when we have imperfections. We have things that we don't understand. But God understands everything about us. The Bible says our steps are ordered by Him. He knew us before we was ever born. He has a plan for us that we should live righteously even before we ever accepted. He knows where we're going to be at the end of our life. He knows what we're going to do, and He knows the number of hair. He knows all about us to the degree that it's hard for us to understand God's goodness. His grace so wonderful. So that peace, that passes all understanding. But you know, Adam and Eve, they went through a time of coming to the garden and how God wanted to fellowship. He came down the cool day and he'd fellowship with Adam and Eve. And they had that special relationship with God. Adam and Eve would talk to him and he'd talk to them. He'd converse with them because he wanted them as his children. He made them for a special reason. They weren't just come here to be destroyed by a guilt trip or something they go through, as we see that sinners on this earth are going through a time that they don't know the outcome. We don't know the outcome for them, but we feel for those type of people. But he didn't, I don't think God had that in his heart at that time. Although he knows all, is all, but he gives us all a chance. He gave Adam and Eve a chance. And that chance, they sort of blew it because the enemy come to him and they was taught not to take the tree of knowledge. And so when the enemy came to Eve, he says, you know, if you'll take this wonderful apple off this tree of knowledge, you're going to know that you're going to be able to live. And Eve told him, well, you know, she says, I'm going to surely die. And he said, oh, no, God knows that you're going to live. She lied to her. And that's what we're facing today. He is the liar. He is the one that comes to us to deliberately give us troubles, to give us problems, to come against us. And all of us, and many times we find ourselves, even as Christians, we don't have the stamina, we don't have the fortitude, we don't have the grace of God to be able to come against the things that oppress us, come against us. We have not that strength many times, and we need that overcoming power that enables us to give us victory, that gives us the determination that I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to be His child. And I have that determination in my heart that I'm willing to set strong when I don't know which way to go, but I can put my heart and my trust in living God, knowing that He will keep me till the day that He delivers me and takes me home. But this is a very special, we can't imagine how, it's hard to speak while we can feel that great understanding that God is in us. And I believe that's why God and Jesus said, He said, it's needful that I go away. He says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, He will send the Comforter. The Comforter of God is something, it's not something, it is God's Spirit that God wants to get in our spirit, that He lives not with about us, but in us. He's part of us. He's not just by your side. He is part of you. And that closeness of God gives us a supernatural acquaintance with God that takes us to agree when we don't know, when we can't even comprehend where we're at. It's the Spirit of God. The presence of God comes upon us. The glory of God comes upon us that exposes darkness, that exposes the principalities of the air, the Spirit that works in the children of disobedience. It gives us a positive relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost that we have, that we can rely totally from our whole heart, say, I can trust in my God. I know that He will not leave me. He will not. That's where the problem is. Many of us, we can't really trust. We're not really sold out to God to the degree that we can't totally trust Him. We'll do part way if it's go making a few alms for the Lord. I'll go to Sunday school. I'll go to church. And if you don't, I'll try to be good through the week. But that's about my level. And that's the way many of us get. That's our level of experience of God. We don't want to go in to endeavor to the deep things of God. We don't want to come in and put our trust in a living God, exposing all the elements of our life. There's things in our lives that we don't want no one to even look at. And we know that God might take that away from us. It becomes it's like a pet thing in our heart. We sort of, even though we have a tendency to want to continue on the things that are there. When God wants to set us free, and He won't hurt us, He delivers us. safety and safely in His hand. He puts a positive relationship in my heart. Though I fear, I won't fear the Lord. Though only my fear is that I want to fear and do the things that God, have that godly fear. That fear is only that I would fear putting my hands in an electric. God give us that safety that we'll not cross a street when it's a godly fear that God puts in us. And we don't have to have that fear that everywhere we go, that we're just feeling what's going to come our way. But we have a godly fear that takes looking to the right, looking to the left, asking God where He wants us to be, asking this presence of God through Jesus Christ, that we're able to be more than conquerors through Him which loved us. We're all come through times of struggles, and all of us have to pay the price. And I believe that's where the problem comes. People do not want to pay the price. They don't want to spend that time on their knees praying and seeking God. They don't want to spend that time when they're putting the Lord God or from heaven being singular in their heart. Seek ye first His kingdom. The Bible says, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. Most people say, oh, you don't really need to worry about those things. But there are truths in the Word of God. The Bible says it's full of truths. And we need to seek out these truths and venture in them as laymen and laywomen. And God, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake His way and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return, Lord, and to our God will He abundantly pardon. We need to take aggressiveness in the endeavor of giving, drawing nigh unto God. God will not force Himself upon us. God is very loving. And God is one that we have to sort of do the nudging. It's like we take the first step, and God takes the next step. But we have to have that endeavor that we want to know Him. And we're saved. Now, this is different than when we're saved. The Bible says we cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws. So while someone prays for us that we can get saved, and that drawing is different than after you're saved, from that time on, you need to be the aggressive one. You need, God saved you for a reason that you can come into His presence with singing, knowing and putting your trust in Him, that you believe that He is the Lord of Lords, He is the King of Kings, and He is there to enable you, to help you, as like I stumbled around for a few minutes ago, but I'm not stumbling around now. He is the living reality that lays within you when you don't know. When you don't know, like I didn't know a few minutes ago, He becomes that strength. He becomes that power, the anointing from heaven that comes down to touch us in a mighty way. We're without Him, we're defeated. We're incapable. And we don't have joy. And I'll tell you, that wonderful joy, that wonderful peace is worth everything that you can have. It's beyond the sky. It's the glory of God that you can have that peace, that surrender in your heart that you know it's all as well. You know, how could you live with your wife if you did something that was adulterous to her? And that's where we are with God. We come adulterers to God. And then we have a hard time going and facing. And yet He will forgive us of our adulterous things that we do. People won't forgive us. But God is beyond the imagination of any human being. He's beyond the sky. He is everywhere present and knows all things, is all things. But yet the one that opposes us is not omnipotent. The enemy comes to kill, destroy. He is our problem. But you know this, God has twice the angels He has. He's defeated foe. In the name of Jesus, when Jesus lived that spotless life, it wasn't just for having the spotless life. Yes, that spotless life, but it was made that when Jesus died, when He died upon that cruel cross, and He died, He took our sins upon that cross, and through that heavy load that He bared, that we might retain and keep our poise with the God of heaven, that we might receive that inheritance that fades not away. With that, we receive an abundant power from heaven that we did not pay in our own self. It was gifted from God. It was God's gift to us through the giving of His Son, that give a gift for God in Himself also. That God gave and His Son gave, and through that they give us a better place, a better hope, a better selection of things upon this earth. You know, God will allow us to do many things that we don't really understand why He lets you do it. Most people, you know, I was in the same way. I thought, well, you know, I had to be a preacher. I had to do this. I had to do that. God says, no, stay where you are. God understands us. He knows our makeup. He knows our blood pressure. He knows all about us. He knows where we want to be. There's hidden things that no one knows, only God. They're too deep.
And the psychiatrists can't find them out. No one, our mother or dad, no one can find them out. But there's in secrets down there that God only knows. And it's there that He might come into us to be our Savior. And be that Savior, He becomes the one that sets us free in all these hidden elements, all the things that bring us blotches in our life, brings us where we have failures, that we have flaws. We have flaws by the dozen. We have flaws that keeps us out of the presence of God. The Bible says He will show us the road to eternal life. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His right hand, pleasures evermore. God will show us these great truths that He can only show us. And with that, we can be saved. But after we're saved, then there comes that time when we must take the plow handled by our hands. Do the work for the Lord. We must seek Him with all of our heart. We must try, endeavor, that we might grow, because are we going to be satisfied with just a meager salvation? And all of us, we can find ourselves there. We find ourselves not really pleasing God. We have received this wonderful salvation. It's true. It's a wonderful, most wonderful gift that you can ever have. But there should be a growing time, a growing expression, because God gave me so much, I want to give back a little portion of what I have. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Most of us, I'm saying most people, don't want to really live as a living sacrifice. We think that's only for the leaders and for the clergy and for the ones that's deep in the Lord. And all the rest of us, we sit back here in the shadows and we sort of say, oh Lord, that's for someone else. But God says, I don't see any, there's not two different standards. Bible says He calls us all. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and unrighteous man his thought, and let him return, O Lord, to our God with abundantly pardon. For high as the heavens are from the earth, so is God's ways higher than our thoughts. When we come to the Lord, we think that everything is too high, that we can't obtain it. But we can with God's help. God wants to rise above, beyond what we can feel. The eagles, I've learned something else about the eagles. They do not eat anything but fresh meat. They don't eat meat like the buzzards and the other birds. But eagles continually looking for, and they will kill to have fresh meat. God made them that way. Because they're not content in having second round meat. And that's the way to have the best in God, you get it from God. Amen. We're second hand for me. God gives you fresh salads and all kinds of wonderful blessings to give abundance. And as you come to Him, you start growing in Him, for Him, by Him, with Him, His mighty hand upon you, that just never dull from then on. It's a fun day when you're striving toward the Lord. God will not, you'll not have to be ashamed. You know, and I really believe that being ashamed is probably one of the guilt things that happens to many of us. We walk a ways from the Lord and we find ourselves stifled down. We find ourselves in a place of unbelief. We find ourselves a place of below standards. We find ourselves, we're not hot or cold, we're lukewarm. You know, and that lukewarm touched my heart too. Because it means we're going to be above tomorrow or today what I was yesterday. And it puts a drive in me that I have to keep going closer to God, or I'm going to tumble down the hill. You understand what I'm talking about? It's something we got to keep driving, and that is not a tiring you out physically, but mentally and spiritually, you're seeking a better depth, a higher plane, a very positive relationship that you wouldn't have without that extra nudge. Because someone's always there saying, you're just fine where you are. The enemy, he lets you feel that you're okay right where you are. You don't need to go any higher. But I guarantee if we stop, we continually drop back. We're like the salmon that go up the river. They continually, if they stop swimming, they will go downstream. They will not. And we will find ourselves when we give in to the principality of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And to these things, all these limitations that distract us are from the enemy. Their sources, they, as disguised they are, they may look good to you. But really in, and when you start and taking off all the paint and all the wrappings that's all covered up, it's iniquity. It's because the enemy wants us to choose to do lesser things. If he can shake you do that lesser thing, then you come down to a lesser thing. And you know, I heard a boy was in prison. He was one that's, this is true. He had taken some of these lies of these young people when they was at school, you know, hold up with these guns. So that he was on trial, and they asked him, says, why did you kill these things? What brought it to that place? He says, well, I have a computer, and he says, I have those tapes, and every day I kill people. See, it was in his heart a long time before he actually did it. And that's what the enemy does to us. You have it in your heart a long time. You're seeking something that's not from God. And you entertain these things and you just let them stale there and they sort of smolder along. It's like a fire that's not put out. And you pretty soon, you're not really coming against that and you're living with it, not against it. You're not giving to the Lord and I'm speaking to myself and we let it smolder along and pretty soon we're taken and we lose our, pretty soon the fire breaks out. It's the wrong kind of fire. And it takes us down and we get singed, we get hurt, and we get sometimes despaired. And the Bible says that we need to seek God with our hearts continually praying, building up ourselves in the most holy faith, praying in His Spirit. And I'm here to defend one area this afternoon, that praying in the Spirit is a positive way. It is a positive path. It is the path that will clear your mind. It will clear the heartaches, the things that you don't have come to a place of indecision. You don't know where you pray in the Spirit. It lets you know the will of God. God made it that way because we don't actually know when you're speaking the heavenly language. It's that prayer language, and that prayer language, when you let it have its way, and it's not to be done, but in your secret place, it'll give you great strength, it'll give you great overpowering power to overcome. It will give you a positive relationship with God. And when we pull back and refrain from these, they say, well, I don't really need to do this no longer, because I don't really know what I'm saying. So, pretty soon, with God is everything in the heart. The enemy has everything in your mind. He torments your mind. He comes to kill, destroy, and steal. He comes to take your life. But God, when you're in God, He's in you. It's like in your innermost being. He's there as a consuming presence of God, a consuming fire that puts a fire within you that sets you above the cares of this world. It's a overflowing presence of God that lives within us. It's hard to describe, but it's His presence. It's His blessing. And He will enable us with that to come against principalities, against powers. You know, if we might not be good speakers, like I find myself, but if you got the right power, there is nothing can stop you. Amen. There is no principality. There's nothing come against you. And you have that freedom in life that you know that whatever state you're in, you're going to have Jesus is going to be by your side. The Holy Ghost is going to be your side. And God the Father is going to be keeping His eyes upon you continually. It's an overwhelming presence of God. You're beyond what Eve and Adam went through. They was there, but we have something greater than they had. Jesus died for us. Jesus died that we might have eternal life. But Jesus said, I will not leave you. I will send you the Comforter. And the Bible says that the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord, and God moved upon them. He opened the heavens up to them that they might obtain a blessing that they could not hold. And overflowing, and you can have that overflowing. There is no way in this world that anyone can have that overflowing unless it's special for each one of us individually. It's for us that we might have a manifold beyond our imagination, a glorious overflow of the Spirit of God beyond anything that we can imagine. It fills our cup, and our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a real mighty revelation there. My cup run over, surely goodness and mercy. My cup runs over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when you don't do these things, it becomes the other way. When we cannot have both. We have one, we have the other. We go through dry spells. When we get dry spells, this means that our cup's not running over. And we've lost our desire to really serve the Lord. We've lost our desire to really do His will, and through that we'll maybe look at little things that we shouldn't look at. We think gets wrong. Things cross our minds. These little things, maybe it only happens to me, but if these things, they're present because we're not overflowing in the overcoming power. When we get that overflow in us, we don't have no problems with these. But it's when we grow dry and we go in despair, we're not really where we should be. We're not having that last coat of paint on us. We're getting out to rusty areas. We're getting where we're sort of battered. We're getting torn, and we need an overhaul. We need another turn with Jesus. We need a closer walk, a closer talk, and closer inheritance with Him, that we might be the praise. God made us that we'd be the praise, the glory. He gave us that we might work for Him, to be able to pray for those that need prayer, to be able to save those that need to be saved. The Bible says that they cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws. He has a special ministry for each one of us. That ministry is alive when you stay in the complete in Him. It's not complete when you allow anything come your way. And I'll guarantee you one thing that will ruin our walk is we come in the place of unbelief. When we compromise, it's a hard, you know, compromise is, it's hard to understand. But compromise, anytime I compromise, it means that the other place that is downhill. So I compromise, I went halfway down. So the next time I do that, pretty soon I'm down. And when we advance up, there's no compromising. God lifts us up in heavenly places. He is our way. He is the truth. He is the life. We have to do it as we accept Him. And the Word of God becomes I was thinking about it yesterday. The Lord spoke to my heart about eating the Word. But the Lord started speaking to my heart that eating is different than any other way that He could tell. When you eat something, it becomes a energy inside of you. Food becomes what we live in. If you don't eat for 30 days, we're all sort of history. But when you eat, it suffices, it keeps his body in a tone that's able to compete, that's able to do a work, it's able to enjoy, it's able to satisfy the needs that God has supplied to us, or be a pleasing vessel of praise. Without it, we cannot please Him. We cannot enable, because we cannot compete, we can't be complete in without Him. We've become failures in ourselves. With Him, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. There's an enemy out here that wants to bring us down. He wanted to stop me here today. And he's real. He's a liar. There's not no truth in him. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. You know, the Word of God, that's why I like the Word of God, because you just get in it and it just takes you off. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches which are in glory. We need to learn the Word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done. You can take the word against the enemy. Greater is He that's within me, He is with the world. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We need to eat the Word of God. It becomes our vocabulary. It becomes our reason. We love that Word so much that we want it in it. In Psalms, David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." We hide it in our hearts down here. Now in Him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's like a flashlight. You don't put any flashlight batteries in it. You're not going to have any power to the light. And that's the way we are. God is our source. He is our power. He is the way maker. We're just a vessel. But we have to have His connections there to keep us light shining. God wants us to let our light shine continually. That every day that we're shining for God, every day that we're seeking God, every day God has appointed us as every day of our life to be a day for Him. That not one day goes by that He is not the center. He is not the answer. We're not complete until we make that available for Him. We make it our time available for Him. His time is always available. We have to make ourselves cordial in His time for His availability, that we will call for Him and He will answer us. The Bible says, "Call on me and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." But I'll tell you, I love the Lord. And I know that one day that God is going to give me a better way. If I want to stay faithful, I want to stay faithful till He comes. I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to give Him. You know, I'm like an old Model T. If that's the best I have, I'll just keep that old Model T and it'll run and run and run and run. But, you know, there's some people's got the finest things, but God's expecting us to use what we have. Use the talent we have. Use the sources we have. He's made it available that we can have reinforcements from Him. And when the enemy comes like a flood, He'll raise up a standard against it. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. I'm persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principality and things present, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For this cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For the light affliction we have is only for a moment, working for us a far more eternal weight of glory. For we look not on things that are seen, but we look for the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says there is no temptation taken us which is common to man, but God is faithful. Will not allow us to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, and with that temptation make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. There's so many wonderful words in the Bible that God is not slack concerning His promise. Some men count slackness, but as long suffering us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, yea, the Lord thy God shall raise up his standard against him. The enemy comes in continually. The Bible says, and also, and now in him is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. He is able to keep us from falling and still with exceeding joy. Not just keep us from falling. God gives us a little coating of the cake. He puts icing on it. He gives us the little beyond measure. Our cup runs over with good things. I seen yesterday this fellow, he had a car, and they did what they called a new look anyway. That's what we need. That car didn't look the same. They put on paints and that thing, and I mean it looked, and that's what I thought, that was a good example of us as a Christian. We need that glory. We need the paint of God. We need that glory. It's beyond measure that everybody's looking at. We have that expression. God says that we shine where we are. That people see Jesus in it. They know that Jesus is in there. We might be silent, but praise God. The Bible says be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, and that is probably why some people don't get to hear God. Because they're too busy talking all the time. And the Lord, that's right. You got to be still to hear from the Lord. And there is advantages in some things that we're handicaps are an advantage. And if we find ourselves handicapped, God uses that handicap for His glory. So anything you haven't got, no excuses. Here we haven't got an excuse. Like Eve says, I blame the devil. And Adam says, I blame the woman. Those are excuses. And God said, there are no excuses. There's no excuses. We are our own. And we've been bought with a price. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, me, as a temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell with them. That's positive. And I will be their God. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and he shall be in us. He will be with us. He will be our God, and we shall be his people. God has a hope, a supernatural hope, in Revelation that says, he will come down and live among his own. He will be with us. 21st chapter of Revelation, the first verse, it says, John, beloved, sees the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And says, he says, I see these as this. And then he says, there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrows. There will be heartaches. God's going to lift us up in a heavenly place above. It's hard for us to, if we grew up in this world, we think this world is really something, which it is. But it's not nothing compared to what he has for us. It's something that we live in. It's tangible now. But there's a time when we got to let go. Even the world, Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. So as we, as God's children, God lets us grow through him. When we're young with the Lord, God lets us do things. And you're still in right standing with him. But when you get old, then you have to come to a place of accountability to him. Because God wants us to grow into that place. Be it maturing him, that he can do a work within those ones that mature, that he can have confidence in that one, that they're going to achieve what he has for them, and he won't listen to no one else. They have that confidence because they've grown at a slow rate, and they had not a voice. They had like Moses. He says, I can't, But he did. Aaron had the finer. But God says it wasn't an excuse. He says, I called you, Moses. I called you. He's called us by his mighty hand. That if he would come today, that we would be in his presence. We would there to be represent him. That we would be there for him. And while we're here, we represent him every day of our life. And we need to come to that place of possessing him. That we're possessed by God the Father. That we have that allegiance, that word of a hidden heart. I receive him with gladness. I come to his heart with thanksgiving, praising him. I will lift my hands on the Lord. I will bless him at all times. The Bible says, I lift, bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. That's positive.
Yes.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The Lord told me yesterday about humility. We have to humble ourselves. And after we humble ourselves, then we got to start getting rid of the problems. But the first step is humbling ourselves. Because God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself in the morning hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. He will exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober means to be sober-minded. Be vigilant, staying with it. Because the adversary of the devil going around as a roaring lion seeketh whom we may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We're to resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in all the brethren that's in the world. Everybody has problems. But God gives you a strength to go with you in the problems. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's on your side. He will guide you, direct you, inspire you, give you that liberty. For the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's peace like a mighty river. God's anointing is powerful. It's glorious. It gives you that strength beyond. You're not clumsy in him. And with ourselves, we can't compete. Apostle Paul said, let's run this race with patience. Well, what a race. All the winners are the ones that win. But God makes us be winners. He takes away the, you know, I probably wouldn't win much. But with God, you're a winner.
Amen.
You become more than conqueror because he lives within you. That's why he says that. You couldn't win this fight within yourself. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but to those that love his appearance. Apostle Paul had fought a good fight. He had finished the course. He kept the faith.
Yes.
Praise God. God has a way. He's got a place. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches which are in glory. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors through him which loved us. He is an ally to us. He is faithful. You know, poor old Samson, I guess he thinks I pick on him. But you know, Samson, what was problem was he went and lived around sin. And we as God's people need to separate ourselves from any fellowship with it. It's hard to live in it and not somewhat rub off on us. We need to get away from it. And Samson just, he was down there about all the lusts and the things that he went through. He was a womanizer. He was all these things that we know is not pleasing to the Lord. And he didn't have that kind of character that was very, he was sort of like to pull tricks on people. Those things that many of us, you know, we've done those ourselves. Bible says he wants us to be above reproach. He wants us to forsake evil and pursue good. These people say, well, that's too hard. That's too, you know, God's too far out for me. Not a lot of people I've talked to, that no, we just can't do that. But I see that the Bible says that if he didn't shorten that day, the very elect would not be saved. And what that means, we're going to just break down. We're going to do just what I want to do, and that's all I'm going to do. And I hope I don't have that kind of mentality. You hear what I said? We just do what we want to do, and that's basically, we're going to live that way. We hope God rescues us that way and we're acceptable to him. But the Bible gives us a plain, straight plan. It's in the Word. And you can rely on this Word. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us and help us to run that race with patience. Jesus become our patience. Jesus, through him, made us that we have patience in Jesus. He is our way maker. We cannot do it without Him, but He give us the Holy Ghost that lives within us. That extra dimension, that extra part of God that doesn't limit us in our own peculiar. We all have flaws, I'm persuaded. A makeover by God's what we need. Not by some sport shop that works on cars or these houses, they make makeovers, and there's, I see, Betty said they have people that make women makeover, and I guess men makeover too. But what we need is a heart makeover. We need this heart right with God. And we're the only one that can really determine whether it's right or wrong. We're the only ones. God, you know, God doesn't go around and show me your heart, because God knows the heart. We can have what the Word says. That's when we even working in ministry, we have to let the Spirit of God take over, do the work for us. We're incapable. Like Brother Cliff, that last week when that woman called him about prayer, it was just a blessing for us that she called. But God puts these little blessings that we can either be absent or we can be present. In the military, you always had to be present. You could be home on leave, but you're still present because you had a 30-day leave, or you had a 10-day leave, or you had a 3-day pass, or you had something that covered you, that they knew where you are, so you was present. That they could look on their roster and say, well, he's in California right now, so if we need him, we're going to call him. And he better be close, because we're going to make sure he's obtainable when we want him. Well, that's the way the Lord is. He wants us to have that purity of our heart, that in His time, when He says, go, my child, I will use you, you're not there saying, oh, I got to better pray through. What did you say? You'll miss it. God wants us available. And many times we don't have to do much. He just wants us to be there. And I believe the most precious thing that we can have, and I don't mean thing, but the precious commodity that we have to give to Him is our love, our dedication, our completeness that's in Him, our patience, our attitude. You know, people say things, but if they're the wrong attitude, it's wrong. Our attitude has a great, God sees our attitude. A cheerful giver is one that gives it from his heart. A giver out of his heart would be angry, says, I don't want to give it. God wouldn't want his gift. So we need to give God our lives out of love. We need to give him, I don't do it just because I need to do it, but I give it because I want to give it to him. I know I should give it to him, but I need to be where I'm saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want you. I want your blessings. I want what you have. I want to be your praise. The Bible said that we might please the Lord in all things. We might please him. Walk with the Lord and all, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen his might according to his glorious power and the long suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God is here to restore us, to help us. He loves us. For I, the Lord thy God, am here this day to tell you, my ones, that I love thee, saith the Spirit of God. I am here that thou might be blessed. I am here to strengthen thee. I'm not here as a bad evil being, but I'm here as that goodness, that love that you need, that you respond to, and I'm here to help you. I'm here to strengthen you. Be not afraid of the Lord thy God, for I'm here with my love. I'm here with my hand stretched out to thee this day, that thou might walk in my obedience, that thou might walk blessed by the Lord thy God from heaven. For I'm here to strengthen those things within thee that thou cannot strengthen within thyself. I see the flaws. I see the impossibilities, and I shall help thee through life's journey. Come to me, and I will no longer cast thee out, and I will bless thee, and I shall strengthen thee. Walk in my presence, and I shall enable thee that thou might be comforted by my presence. For where I am, there is my joy, and I shall give thee joy, peace, goodness. For I have not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I shall keep those who seek my face, for my coming is very soon, and I shall make thee complete. Just look to me, for my joy is my reward. I shall give them my beloved joy. I shall give my beloved peace, and they shall have harmony in my spirit, saith the Spirit of God. We all, I think that's what it's all about. We all, I don't care who we are, we struggle at times. All struggle. We all struggle without, and that's that part within us that God wants that there, that makes that we cannot do anything within ourselves. Our whole hope is in Him. We struggle without Him. We struggle to breathe without the Lord. It's His presence. And He wants us to have that relationship that we are His children, and while we know that there no father or no mother will hold any good thing from them that walk upright before them. And with God's the same way, He says He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk upright before Him. He will make us complete in Him. I was very clumsy at first. And I believe it was done this because God lets me live it, that you can see the difference, what takes place when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And but you still can't stop, even though you're clumsy, you're making mistakes, you gotta keep on going, and people looking at you makes it worse, and all these added things, but that's the way life is. It's a real, God's let me see more about it now. That's when He wants you to perform, when it is very clumsy to you, when you feel like it's you're really dropping the ball, you feel like it's you didn't quite make the last curve, you're running out of strength, but that's when God wants you to really stand, having done all to stand. Because the Bible says that in Ephesians, be strong, Lord, the power of might, put you on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, there comes a time when we must stand. The Bible says, loins girt about with truth, take the shield of faith, that we might be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, the fiery darts of the wicked is something that takes God to help you in them, because it's shots from the enemy that comes against us. And we need the armor so well that we don't feel it. And if we will stay close to God, in the 91st Psalm it says that they dwell in the secret place, it means He gives His feathers over us, and the enemy cannot protrude through God's armament. And that's where we're supposed to stay, but when we get like little chicklets, we run out and we sort of do our own thing. Yeah. The Lord says, hey, I'm leading you, and that's where we're supposed to be. But when we get away from the Lord, then we have to say, Lord, please. He says, come up here. I didn't tell you to get up. But you know, I know one area that God has always disciplined me about. He will work with us better if we're a little slow than if we're too fast. Because when we get too fast, we get out there in a place where it's hard to... We're a little familiar with what's behind us, but we're not familiar with what we're facing. And every day of your life is an adventure. Every day of your life, that's why you need the power of the Spirit of God to enable you, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but you know in Jesus it's going to be right, because He has given you the power of the Holy Ghost to strengthen you, that you might be a conqueror for Him. But He knows tomorrow's. God is with you. He'll not leave you. You can have that assurance that He is there constantly abiding. He is there to give us that overflowing of His mighty presence. I need to keep quiet. I'm feeling like talking now. That's the time the Lord says, now quit talking. You know, I've learned that too, that this is hard for a lot of Christians to understand, that when the anointing is there and it's still there, God says, stop, you stop. When it's not there, He says, go, you go, till you reach the anointing. And they said, oh, no, that can't, that's the way, we need to know God. We need to know how He thinks. And when He says, go, you go, even you're struggling. We need to go when we're struggling. We're there not to please ourselves, we're there to please God. And God will not let you struggle beyond what you're able to struggle. With that struggle, make it that you might be overcome that. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Let no man say when he's tempted with God. For God cannot be tempted with neither tempted he any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away in his own lust. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved, but every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, who there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That is in James, the first chapter. And that is, let no man say when he's tempted God. God cannot tempt any of us. We're tempted when we get out too far from God. And that's what I was talking, because we need to have that closeness that we don't get, we're not bothered with the temptation. When we get far from God, then we, our feelings are getting way out in what they shouldn't be. God says, how come you're out here? Like Eve, he says, how come you did? Because God says, stay under my secret place. He that dwells in the secret place the most shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we get out too far from God. And I feel that's what a lot of the Christian people today are, really too far out from the Lord. God wants us to come close to him, because as that day approaches, he wants to come close. The Lord bless all of you. I feel his love now. Praise God. You know, there's a spirit world that I... The Lord wants me to tell you this, but... And it takes a while for the Lord to let you get it, but it's something that you need to receive, because everything that says it's God don't actually always say that it is from the Lord. In the spirit world, things can be camouflaged. It says that the enemy will, he will even cause the very elect to fall, and he will deceive us. All these are avenues of camouflage. And that's why we need to have that importance of the Spirit. And I believe there's only one true way, as us carnal, basically we're carnal within ourselves. We become spiritual as we link to the Spirit of God. He is that positive. He's positive. And we have to say that it's the Spirit of God that makes us and keeps us. And when we get out, we can't blame him when we're way off someplace else. Well, I think this is probably what the Lord wanted today, because there's times in your life when you'll feel like you're blowing it. That's when you really need to sit in there and be strong. You have to still trust the Lord when it's not easy. You have to trust him when it's tough. But I've never seen him ever fail you. And his word, you can just believe it's always true. I'd like to have been more plainer than I was today. When the Spirit comes on, it's really easy. And when it's, Lord lets me struggle for a reason, I'm sure thankful that he don't let me struggle too far.